Good morning, everyone. We have a little bit of technical difficulties with the house lights, but we're hoping they'll come on soon. But until then, let's stand and worship.
Joy to the world, the Lord is Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Sorry for the technical difficulty. Okay, let us pray. Dear God, on this first Sunday in Advent, we begin a journey, joyously waiting for Christmas Day and waiting for you to come again. Come into our lives now as we worship. Help us to surrender to your faithfulness. In Jesus we pray, amen.
Hi!
shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. In our mighty fortress, you go before. Drop them off in the offering box here, or you can give online with any of those ways. Our offering today is for the New Life missionaries. And as we go into the song, let's just pray for a blessing over the offering. Lord, we thank you for how you provide for us every day for all of our needs. And we ask that you bless our offerings today as we give back to you from what you've given us. In Jesus' name.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. Can bid me this.
Well, welcome to New Life Church. My name is Janessa Gritter, and I'm the intern worship pastor here at New Life. We're so glad you're here. Last week, we really missed your faces, but we had a wonderful online Zoom prayer service for the flood, but we're happy that you're here, and I'm happy that I could kind of see all of you. So for those of you who are online, welcome to you. I know a lot of you chose to stay home this morning, so I hope you are chatting and connecting, requesting prayer, responding to moments, as we want our online community to be a welcoming and a wonderful place to enjoy our worship services. If you are new, we'd like to extend a special welcome to you at this time. In front of you will be a connect card. We'd love you to fill that out and drop it off at the info booth. We want to connect with you and get to know you better. So our announcements for November 28th is our November Serve Focus. Our November Serve Focus is for the Christmas at Sea program, and that's alongside the Ministry to Seafarers. We're collecting a lot of items, as you can see behind me. This is the last week of November. Where did November go? It went by so fast. And we know a lot of you have the flood on your minds, and we just encourage you to still give. We can come to the office during the week, and you can drop off supplies. This is a great ministry that connects and gives practical gifts to all the seafarers out in the Vancouver port. So it's not too late. You can still give. Alongside the flood relief, I invite Pastor Justin Dudney up to talk about the ways that we're helping our community.
Good morning. I just want to start off by saying thank you to everyone. It has been so encouraging because, as you guys know, the flood has impacted so many people's lives in a really devastating way, and it's just been really difficult. But there's such a glimmer of hope and light that has come from community, not just our own, but at Abbotsford, and you guys have all seen it. Many of you have seen it from different places. But what I've really witnessed is our community of New Life. Because as soon as I even sent out an email, or we sent out an email, which usually doesn't get a lot of responses, to be honest, we had a flood of, or just an outpouring, wrong word. Let's bring those back. Yeah. Any of you have rewind buttons? Cool. Use that at home. We've had an outpouring of volunteers to help and work, accommodation for people who haven't been able to be in their homes, meals, resources, finances, you name it. And our church has done that, and it's just a testament to what community means and what it's about to be a part of a family. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you to everyone that has said, yes, I'm willing to help. I know so many of you are willing to help as well. So I just want to say thank you. I want to share a little bit about what we're doing and how we're doing it. So we realize that as a church, there's a lot of need in our own church, but we also realize as a church that we're not the only ones affected. Our community's affected. So we have partnered with a variety of churches or multiple churches and organizations or businesses, men and women that have businesses that have come together and said, hey, how can we work together? So we are working alongside Gateway and Living Hope and a few other churches that have come together and say, how can we do this well together? So there's going to be seven team managers that we have that lead Monday through Sunday. Well, Sunday and Saturday is kind of everybody. So whenever there's any need that comes in on, for instance, a Monday, all of those people that need help, all those work sites or volunteers need it, that comes to New Life Church. So we are the team leader. I'm the team manager for Monday. Tuesday, I think, is Gateway. Another church is on Wednesday, and so on and so forth. So I'm in charge of, like, rounding up volunteers, not just for our own community, but for other families, people that don't even go to church, that need help in Sumas Prairies, Chilliwack, anywhere, really. So if you are interested in volunteering, please reach out to me. You can reach out through the office or my email. If you know of people that need help as well, you can let me know and I'll direct you through the right chains. We have one central location. There's so many different places that are helping, but we are just going to do our part in the ways that we know how. There's a lot of other details for that. But all that to say is if you want to help or if you need some help, you can let us know. We also want to let you know about the flood relief fund that we have. So we have a benevolence fund that helps with people in many different ways, but we also have a Flood Relief Fund, and I think that's going to be led by our deacons as well. It's a separate fund to aid anyone that's been affected by the flood. So you can give to that online or through check, and just memo, you can do that to Flood Relief Fund. We also want to let you know that we have had some damage ourselves in the basement. That's why a kids' church will not be down there, any nursery or anything. It'll be upstairs. We've had a little bit of water come into the basement, and some of the people at our church and leadership will be assessing that and whether or not we'll be able to get back down there and what we'll be able to save. So if you do want to give towards that, you can. But yeah, we just want to let you know that we're in a process of fixing the basement as well. I believe that's it for the flood relief. Thank you so much for your willingness to help. It was just so awesome to see a group yesterday get together and just serve together. It was awesome. It was awesome. So thank you so much, everybody, for your desire to help and your willingness to help. All right, Janessa.
All right. So kids dismissal. As Pastor Justin said, our downstairs has some water damage, so everything's going to be upstairs. Ages 0 to grade 5 can go out that door to my right, up the stairs. And again, we just encourage you, keep your little ones out of there, as there's a lot of storage just in the center, a lot of mess. We don't want anyone running around down there. We're now going to enter into our 3-minute fellowship time. Introduce yourself to someone else. Tell them about the week that you've had. And get some coffee, and you can bring your kids down now.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Bruce Gritter, and I have the joy and privilege of being able to preach this morning. Nathan is sick and cannot be here for obvious reasons. He's doing better, as I understand, but I got the assignment early this week to bring the message, which I count a great honor. In fact, I'm just really glad they got the lights back on, otherwise I could be accused of preaching in the dark, and I really don't want to do that. So why don't we pray and ask God for a blessing on what we're about to do. Father, we come before you. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be a part of this moment. Lord, in these difficult times, we need your word more than ever. We need direction. We need your Spirit to lead and guide us. And so open our eyes, unstop our ears, and help us to see what you have for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I want to talk to you about what's been on everyone's mind over the past 10 days or so. And I mean, everyone's been talking about this and thinking about this. And why are the Vancouver Canucks so horrible this year? I don't understand. No, of course, it's the flood. It's the flood. That's on the top of our mind. I did a little research this week. And I guess they're considering renaming the Coquihalla to the Krakenhola, and hope to hooped. But you know what? On a serious note, I just want to give a shout out to so many of you. And Justin talked about this earlier, who have stepped up financially, who've stepped up to volunteer. It's a good thing, and I really wanted tell you how proud I am of this church for its response and for being a good neighbor. This is the time when we really learn how to be good neighbors, and the Bible talks about that. And I want to talk about that this morning too. I want to talk about this passage from Matthew 7, which is a passage that's probably familiar to a lot of you, but it's such an appropriate passage in a time like this. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, of course, this is a classic parable of Jesus that appears at the end of the greatest teaching that he did, Matthew 5 to 7, otherwise known as the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, it's been retold and told again in church and Sunday school. In fact, we've all sang that song, right? The wise man builds his house upon the rock, right? I even asked Janessa if we could sing that this week, and she said, no. In fact, as I was thinking about it this week, I thought about another very similar story, which is likely based on the parable of Jesus. And I'm fairly confident you're familiar with it. It's the story of the three little pigs, right? And there's these three pigs, and they go to build, each one of them, a house. Now, the first one is kind of a lazy pig. And he builds this house of straw, right? Gets done way before the other guys, and just counts himself lucky. You know, cracks a cold one, and he's just laughing at his neighbors. The second pig builds his house out of wood, spends a little bit more time, but the construction is just really so-so. Then he, of course, takes a break, and the two little pigs kind of laugh at this third little pig, because this pig is just very industrious, very conscientious, and he builds a brick house. A solid brick house. And then, of course, we know what happens in the story, right? The wolf comes along, and he goes to the first house, and the little pigs all go inside, and he says to the first little pig, little pig, let me come in. To which the little pig says, I'll bet you've never said that in church before. And he blows on the house, and it blows over, and, well, there's kids in church, so we won't say what happened next. But things don't go well for the first pig. Second pig, similar deal, right? Little pig, let me come in, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And the wolf has to work a little harder, blows harder, but that house falls over too, and bad things happen to that pig as well. But the third pig has been industrious. And when the wolf comes to that house, he huffs and he puffs and he puffs and he huffs, but he can't blow that house over because it has a solid foundation. Now, the point of this story is that we're all building a house with the decisions that we make every day, with what we say yes to, with what we say no to. In different ways, we are building a house, the house of our lives, right? And this we do know as well, just like in the story, for all of us, one day, the big bad wolf will come knocking on the door. Now, it might be in the way of the flood that we just experienced, but it could come in other ways as well. The storm of cancer, or some other medical emergency. It might be in the form of a marital storm, right? Or maybe a financial storm, or maybe it's the kind of storm that happens when you see one of your kids making life choices that you know are going to lead to havoc in their lives. The big bad wolf comes knocking on everyone's door. And in that day, the foundations of your house, what you've chosen to build your life on, will be tested. And can I share this with you this morning? I'm getting a little worried now these days with the choices that we've made as a civilization. What we're doing to the planet, for example. Are we, in the words of the prophet Hosea, sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind? What have we done? And what will be the consequences of those choices in years to come? It's a bit frightening these days, isn't it? Now, the classic application of this parable that Jesus tells is that I get to ask you as a congregation, so what are you building your life on? Are you building it on the sure foundation of the revelation of truth and grace found in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you building it on something else? Your own smarts, what you find on the internet, some self-help expert, what? And it's a valid question, and Jesus concludes his sermon in this way because he's making a point. What we do each day, each year, matters. What we decide to do with our lives matters to God. It matters to the kingdom, and it matters to our future. You know this guy who builds his house on the sand in Jesus' story, right? He assures himself of his own destruction. And the obvious question is, how did he ever get himself into this mess? And Jesus is this, he's a masterful storyteller. And this says something profound about human natures. Notice this guy did not deliberately set out to do something evil. I mean, look at the adjective that Jesus uses in this passage to describe this guy who builds his house on the sand. Jesus calls him a fool. A fool. People build their lives foolishly. You just don't think about it. You see this most clearly in kids, right? Kids do something foolish, something senseless. And in that situation, parents often ask a question that's designed to make sense out of a senseless situation. Like, why? Why did you decide to play baseball next to my new car? Right? Well, why did you decide to jump off the porch onto the trampoline? Why did you decide
to stick a spaghetti noodle up your brother's nose? And kids always respond with the same in the same way, don't they? I don't know. I don't know. And ask this man in the story, ask this foolish man, why did you build your house on the sand? Do you know what he'd say? I don't know. Seemed like a good thing to do it at the time. It just sort of happened. Oh, friends, no one plans on living a mediocre life. No couple ever exchanges rings and plans on getting a divorce. No parent has children and plans on ignoring them. No one ever walks into a bar, orders a drink, and plans on becoming an alcoholic. It just happens because of the foolish choices that we make over the years. So build your house on the solid rock of Jesus. But as I was thinking a little bit more about this passage this week, I thought, you know, there's one thing about this story, one question that we never ask of the story. And that's what happens after the storm. Because we know that storms don't last forever. I mean, this storm that we're in, I mean, it seems to have wave after wave after wave, right? But one day the storm will end. The waters will recede. Eventually, if you built your house on a good foundation, the big bad wolf gives up. So what do you do after the storm? And you know what the answer to that question is? You build again. You build again. Even though there might be wreckage all around, you know how there's always debris and all kinds of just sort of horrible-looking things after a big storm and a big flood, and you can be overwhelmed with the amount of work that has to be done. What you do is you build again. You build again. But this time you build differently. First of all, you never forget the storm. You never forget the storm. I mean, there's all kind of talk these days that we have to rebuild, but we need to rebuild our infrastructure smarter, right? Highways that can stand what will inevitably come in the way of these atmospheric rivers. Dikes need to be built higher. Bridges need to be built better and stronger. And that makes sense, doesn't it? It makes perfect sense. We learn from our mistakes, typically, as human beings. But in the same way, isn't it also true that we all just want our lives back? When it's this flood or the pandemic, we just kind of, at one point, we just want to go back to our happy lives and stop thinking about these problems. We just want to go up to the shoe swap on the weekend in July to go boating with our friends. So just fix that road, would you please? But remember, when Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, he was addressing people just like us who tend to live our lives that way, just living for the moment. And basically, he says, decide to live in a radically different way. Learn to love authentically. I'm talking about spiritual matters now. Learn to forgive fabulously. Learn to speak the truth even when it hurts. Learn to quit worrying about all your possessions and possess the one thing worth having. And that's Jesus. After the storm, whatever storm that might be in your life, you build different. And this is what Jesus was trying to get across in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember these words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Understand, Jesus is trying to tell us how to live this life of the kingdom, how to find a blessing. Maybe a storm like we just experienced is a wake-up call for all of us. Maybe it's a pregnant moment in which we begin to rethink how we're doing life. You never forget the storm. I remember talking to some older Dutch folks who lived through the Second World War. And in case you don't know, there were some folks, especially in the last year of the war in Holland, who went through incredible hardship, especially in relation to food supplies. And they'll never forget. One old man told me, every time I eat a good meal, I feel blessed. Because we almost starved, and when you're starving, one potato is a blessing. We learn from the storm. In case you haven't figured it out yet, friends, this world is not a safe place. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. In fact, he said, don't worry about tomorrow's trouble because there's enough trouble to worry about today. But he also said this, take heart, for I have overcome the troubles of this world. And so in a pregnant moment like this, like Peter who tried to walk on water, but ended up sinking in the waves, we grab hold of Jesus' hand during this time and we let him pull us to safety. Second, you dive more deeply into community. Maybe dive isn't the best metaphor to use right now, but you get the idea. One of the good news stories about this flood, and Justin touched on this earlier, is how it's brought people together. How it's a calamity that has created some community. Over the last week, we've seen people do amazing things. Hundreds of people, as I was watching on the news this morning, showed up and are sandbagging to try to protect their neighbors' houses. People coming as far as from Vancouver just to help out. And I want to commend you again for all the things that you're doing. Every meal counts. Every clothing resource counts when people are displaced by a flood like this. Keep going out of your way to help your neighbors and friends, opening your homes, offering comfort, praying with people, taking care of kids, whatever it is that they need. See, here's the thing. Once you know that floods will come, that the big bad wolf will come knocking on your door one day, what do? Well, you run for the shelter of community, a community of love. That's why our church can be so relevant in a time like this, because this is our code, right? Like Jesus, we wash the feet of everyone at the table, those who deserve it and those who don't. Jesus washed the feet of Peter, but he also washed the feet of Judas. My prayer for you is as a result of this flood, and this sounds counterintuitive, that you will realize how vulnerable you are in this world. And that you'll dive more deeply into community, whatever that is, a small group, you know, women's ministry or whatever ministries that you find yourself sort of touching. Maybe this is a moment for you to start saying, you know, I got to get a little bit more serious about this. So that church isn't just this moment where you sit in a pew on Sunday morning and you look around to see who's there, grab a coffee, and that's the extent of community for you. This time, a time like this, teaches us that we're vulnerable and that you need the person beside you. You really do. You know, there's a movie out there right now. Maybe you've seen it. It's called Dear Evan Hansen. And it's about a 17-year-old boy with social anxiety that wonders if anyone would come running if given, you know, the impossible situation he found himself in. But they do. And that's what it means to be church. We are not little islands, friends. When the waters rise, when the big bad wolf comes, we run to the community of grace and we dive in deeper. Third and final thing, you hang on more tightly to the promises of God.
You hang on more tightly to the promises of God. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 46. It reads this way: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Though we will not fear, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river who makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And I want to ask you this morning, do you believe it? For real? Because it's a promise. It's a promise that's saying there won't always be trouble. That one day God will return and put things straight. That every crooked road will be made straight. That every dam that was breached will be rebuilt. That this tired old earth will be renewed. Because in the end, that's really the only promise that we have to hang on to. Through this storm, never forget that God has you in his grip. And one day you will find himself, you will find yourself most firmly there with him. God is our fortress. Let's pray. Father, you thank you for this reminder. Sometimes it's in times like this that we really, really begin to hear what the good news is all about. It's in times like this that we decide that we are going to dive more deeply into community, that we're going to build our house now on the sure rock of your words and your teaching and your leading. So I pray that you would do a miracle through this catastrophe, that you would help us to see more clearly your goodness and grace. And more than that, that for this ravaged community, we would be instruments of your love and the message of your goodness. Thank you for being our fortress. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand.
I look to you.
extend your hands this way if you're comfortable to receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine on you. May he turn his face towards you. And in this time like this, give you his peace. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace, my friends.
Can we just sing the verse together one more time before you go?
And God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me